Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snake was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
What's going on, motherfuckers? It's time for another spoiled movie review on the Blackout Tales Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host
Karen.
Well, this time by my co-host. Sometimes I switch it up, sometimes we do solo now.
Yes,
but we're here together in the motherfucking house in the Z-pocalypse. Okay,
come on,
ready to give you another spoiled movie review. Today's movie review is, of course, for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing it, or just don't care about spoilers, because we do spoil the movie. And today's movie is The Little Things, the brand spanking new Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, Jared Leto serial killer thriller, I guess I would describe it, directed by John Lee Hancock. It's out there on HBO Max. It, one of those movies that would have went to the theater.
Yeah, it would have went to the theater
if theaters existed. Mm-hmm. and it did go to the theater. If you are allowed to go to the theater wherever you live, it is in the theaters. But HBO Max is also releasing stuff same day for 31 days at home, saving you a trip to get the brand new variants of the coronavirus.
Come on.
This movie, we will review it, we'll say what we liked about it, what we didn't like, we'll score it, and then we have a couple of your comments to get to, because y'all left a couple of comments on our old reviews. Mm-hmm. The storyline, Deke play who is I think John Deacon, that's Denzel's character. He's a burnt out Kern County, California deputy sheriff, and with a past, with a dark, mysterious past. And he teams up with Baxter, which is Jim Baxter, played by Rami Malek, who is a crack Los Angeles Los Angeles something department detective. He hooks up with, like, a, you know, the old big town detective where he used to work in this town and work these murders. But we find out, like I said, spoilers, we be spoiling it, we find out that Denzel's character had a murder where he burnt out and left the force and in disgrace, and
yeah, got demoted.
Yeah, got went and became a sheriff in another place instead of being a detective there. So they team up to nab a serial killer. Deke's nose for the little things proves eerily accurate, but his willingness to circumvent the rules embroils Baxter in a soul-shattering dilemma. Meanwhile, Deke must wrestle with a dark secret from his past that he shot a little white girl in the chest by accident and killed her. Karen.
And they covered it up.
Karen, give me something you liked about this movie.
I enjoyed the chemistry between Joe and Jim, mm-hmm. which is Denzel and Rami. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed their chemistry. They actually bounced off each other really, really well.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where you cast this movie and then you go, okay, we got a movie.
Right.
It really wouldn't matter how good or bad the movie was, because it's like the safety net of the fact that you got at least three talented lead actors mm-hmm. in one film means you're gonna get your movie made, and as long as no one phones it in, it's gonna be good, you know. Mm-hmm. A thing I have to give it a lot of credit for, man, they did a time, like a period piece, mm-hmm. without really like making it a big deal. Normally I feel like movies like this are like, you know, like they're like, you know, 1995.
They make a big deal. You know. Yeah, they're flashing dates and shit.
And earlier in 1981, like, they just kind of tell the story. And I think with the newfangled cameras, the new TV we got, it felt all futuristic and crystal clean, but
right.
We was watching
in the movie and Roger was like, they didn't use a cell phone, would they use fake phones? I was like, you know what? you're right. Like yeah. It had to dawn on me that this was a whole
movie. I want to say I made it like an hour and something into this movie before I was like, wait, why didn't he just, oh wait, this isn't the normal time. Like, you couldn't have texted him that, or that right? wasn't or like
nobody using Facebook. Like, I'm
there was no pagers, no DNA test stuff. Like,
I think it was it a pager? Yeah, I think I seen a pager, but it was,
I don't
like
remember
payphones.
Yeah, I saw payphones. I just don't remember either the detectives getting a page in the movie. Or let
me
call you back.
Something else. And if it was, it was just like a real quick. He looking at it real quick or something like that.
Yeah, I just don't like. It would just seem like it was a very old school movie, and I mean, props to them, because like I said, they didn't necessarily like message or like make a big deal out of it. It's just like you watch the movie and you just, to me, it made me think about how much we take for granted with technology now, because I'm like, this case would have been solved 27 different ways by now. And the tools that they had to solve a crime with back then, just compared to now, it's like, man, you was really depending on getting a lot of shit right and a lot of coincidences matching up.
Right.
What else did you like?
I like the fact, and maybe this is just me, it wasn't that scary. I thought it was going to be scary, particularly the way it introduced, you know, a young lady driving down, dude pulling up, her running and high. And I was like, is this going to be like a slasher, stab him up movie? I was like, I don't know about this.
It was weird because the description, when I just went to IMDb, said horror, but I would not define this movie as horror at all. I would maybe say thriller.
Yes.
You know, it is somewhat of a thriller.
Suspenseful.
Yeah, suspenseful, but horror to me seems like a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
See on IMDb it says crime, drama, thriller. So I think I saw horror on, when I was searching Google, it said horror, and I'm like, Denzel, new horror movie, what? But yeah, I agree with you though. It wasn't scary. It wasn't very scary. You know, Karen got nervous and was gonna try to leave me in there. Mm-mm. I was gonna, and it was weird because like it was like 40 minutes left in the film. She had already watched an hour, and she was just like, I'm gonna just go ahead and leave, and guess I had to do the review by myself. But she toughed it out. I told her, you know what, you can sit on the couch next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take care of you.
Yeah, I toughed it out because I was like, dude, we all this way for somebody to get fucked up at the end. No.
Yeah, it wasn't really like any cheap. It wasn't really like a cheap scare movie. Mm-mm. Or even like a gore movie, even though there is gore and brutality as far as like showing like these are dead bodies and stuff,
right? But you didn't really see like the physical violence, like somebody
don't,
actually committing the crime.
Yeah,
right?
They don't show the murder or anything like that. I guess, you know, another thing I did like was the backstory for Denzel's character and the way they kind of floated it in to where you find out that, you know, earlier they make it seem like he left in disgrace. And to me, I thought maybe it was a racial thing because it was like he left and he worked the case so hard. He had a heart attack. And I'm like, how is that bad? Like they were making it sound like he was the worst officer ever. What the fuck are you doing back here? Like he was just terrible. And I thought, wait, the big problem was he cared too much. He wanted to solve the crime,
right?
But then we find out later, and it does make sense, he killed an innocent white girl, maybe even like a woman that was a victim of the serial killer but not killed,
right?
But she was walking out of the woods and he shot her dead center, killed her, and they covered it up. The coroner, played by Michael Hyatt, one of my favorite actresses, you might know from The Wire, a Snowfall, but the coroner helps cover this up, this black woman. His partner covers it up. And then he lives with this guilt, and we see in his head in the film, it's really cool. His backstory is really cool because, like, in the film, we see these girls that are victims of this killer and how he didn't solve their murders and shit. And you think, like, oh, this is the guilt of not solving the crime. And this is how dedicated he is to it. And then you find out like one of these bodies is his body. He killed that woman.
Right. Now the rest of them, the dude probably did kill. But,
right. But one of them is definitely on him.
Like the first one, that's on you.
So it was, like the way they reveal that backstory at the end and the way that they use it to like kind of show like closure for the main story where he's covered up a story, covered up a murder of his, you know, while he was on duty, he's covered up a murder, ends up leaving the department in disgrace. Of course, they cut, you know, everyone probably knows something happened, but they, you know, he leaves, goes to be a sheriff somewhere else, cause ain't that the way with cops. He leaves, goes to be a sheriff somewhere else. And then comes back and ends up essentially covering up this murder where Rami Malek kills Jared Leto in a fit of rage. Mm-hmm. And he sends him that red beret to say like, hey, now you have closure. And we find out it's all like, that's even fake. Like the beret is not, that red beret is not even real.
Nope.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where he just wanted to give him closure. And then, you know, once you realize what he's done, you go, this is why you had a heart attack. This is why you divorced your wife.
Yes.
Right. It's one of those things where you literally can't tell them.
Yeah, and that was, and so like I said, in a way, his story was more interesting. I never felt like, this is a good guy or any of that shit, but it definitely felt like his story was more interesting than even the story they were trying to tell with Rami Malek. Mm-hmm. Like his backstory, covering up the crime, what it cost him, and the way that they told it, they didn't just come out and say, here's what happened, y'all. It was like, here's a flashback to a couple of minutes, here's a flashback for 60 seconds, and then you put together like, oh, you think about the sum total of this, he kills that girl and basically his life changes. Mm-hmm. Like he loses his wife, he loses his job, he never is able to really find peace and solace again, and he also never found that killer. Mm-mm. So like everything that could go wrong went wrong, and of course he never faced the justice he was supposed to face, or even the scrutiny, I guess, because maybe you could argue, well, it was definitely an accident, he didn't shoot that girl on purpose. Mm-hmm. So you could argue that, you know, he wouldn't have went to prison, but he would have definitely been disgraced, and he never faced that. So I thought his backstory was actually really good. What else did you like?
Speaking of his backstory, I like the way that they kind of showed you his, because they bragged about how he was the best and how he could crack all these cases. I liked how that he just did different and unique things to kind of crack the cases, to the point where you almost think, okay, this nigga's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, but you go, oh, he's not really crazy. A lot of that is just guilt. Mm-hmm. You know, but he does think outside the box, and you know, just one of those things where Jimmy, they call him Jimmy, mm-hmm. end up taking Joe's old job, like basically Deke's mm-hmm. old job, you know, and it sounds like the job is a very, very stressful job and have a very high demanding job.
Well, it's definitely stressful when you get 5 murders and everybody on you to solve the shit.
Right.
And well, they're about to bring in the FBI if you can't. So like it definitely got stressful for him. Another thing I liked too was it looked good, like as far as like they went back and showed that time period in a way that just, you know, really just blew up the television, you know, you're just like, man, this looks, it like it looks so good, it made you forget it, like honestly it felt like it wasn't a time period piece. Mm-mm. It felt like this shit could have been today, and then you realize, wait a minute, all these are 80s models cars and shit, or 90s models,
and they were so clean and shiny. I was like, ooh, they watched all the cars going down the highway.
Shout out to AutoZone or whoever the fuck,
right? They made a killing for this one.
What else did you like?
That's it.
Okay. Let's see, anything else? Great cast. I mean, this is just one of those things where I guess it's a casualty of not having theaters, mm-hmm. because this is one of those movies where just the cast alone, it's like, yeah, they definitely would have put this shit
in the theaters
because mm-hmm. you know they were able to get solid casting all the way around. Jared Leto, Michael Hyatt, who was the other person I recognized? There were a few other people I recognized too where I was just like, oh yeah, you see them in everything, you know.
Yes, yeah, right. It was some of them dudes, like I've seen some of them dudes in like other TV shows, right. and things like that. I seen their face, I was like, I know this person,
right? So, you know, I would give them credit there. All right, let's get to dislikes. Karen, give me something you dislike.
I thought it was slow.
So too long?
Yeah, slow and too long. Yeah,
yeah, I put too long down as one of mine, mm-hmm. but slow is, yeah, it's same thing.
Yeah, yeah, because I thought because you can be slow and not be too long if you speed up, but this whole movie's like a really like a slow burn. So if you're coming in expecting to be boom 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 boom, this is not the movie.
Yeah, I thought it was very straightforward in the main story. So Denzel's story, the way they tell it is kind of like cool because, you know, they reveal that stuff a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. and you see how the way that he covered up that first crime affects this current crime and his attitude about this whole thing the whole time and whatnot. So that was cool, but the regular story was so straightforward. Sometimes it's like as soon as they show Jared Leto's in the movie, you're like, well, there's the fucking like dude that's gonna be the main bad guy or whatever, because none of these other people are A-list actors. And then like the way he acts is just super creepy and like, I did it, so there's no like, you know, maybe he didn't do it to it, except for when they say he confessed to a crime he didn't do a long time ago or something like that, and they're like, so maybe this guy just likes confessing to crimes he couldn't have did or something like that. And then when Jared Leto gets killed, it felt mostly like bad script writing, because it just felt like so many bad decisions had to happen, mm-hmm. on Rami Malek's character's side for him to kill that man,
right?
And they made it so he killed him in like a fit of rage on accident or some shit, and the guy was basically asking for it. But I don't know, something about that, I just felt like you could have written a better scenario, mm-hmm. and honestly, in a weird way, I think it would have been better if he killed him on purpose, like if he would just, mm-hmm. pulled his gun out, shot that dude and said, fuck it, I think you did it, and you keep fucking with me and I can't prove it, you threaten my family, mm-hmm. fuck it, I'm just gonna kill you, you're a troll, like essentially if you didn't do it, you're a troll. And then they cover the murder up. I actually think that's a better decision, but I think they didn't want Rami Malek's character to be a bad person,
right?
So they didn't do it, and then it was redundant because Denzel's was an accident, and then this one it was a, you know, accident but more deserving. I would have rather they did it on purpose, but so I was not a fan of that whole last like third act of how they killed it. I covered up the murder and stuff like that was pretty cool to see, mm-hmm. using their crime scene knowledge.
I like the plot twist of the hair bow.
Yeah, and then the hair bow I like too. Yeah, we didn't mention that in the likes, but mm-hmm. yeah, the way they did like
the twist.
Denzel gave him closure even though it wasn't real, mm-mm. because he knew how much doing that would destroy a person's life, killing a person and not knowing for sure they were guilty or whatever. And so he kind of gave that dude closure even though he didn't really, they still don't know that Jared Leto was the killer. They right. just think he probably was.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I didn't like, the third act was just, it was all over the place. And it's mostly just the decisions Rami Malek's character made. It wasn't, it's right. like you got in
a
the
lot
car
of them
with
did
him.
Not make sense. You could, some of the decisions I'm like, well, you are a professional officer. These decisions make no sense.
Right, you're on a stakeout. You get out the car. This is before cell phones and shit. You mm-hmm. answer the payphone. Dude comes down. acting creepy, acting like he did the crime. You get in his car with him, drive to the middle of nowhere, you put your gun away, you start digging holes, you get out. You know, I kept expecting, like, when he got out the car to even open the gate, like, dude would just run over him with the car and be
I
like,
I thought it'd run over him too and just kill him. I was like, y'all out in the middle of nowhere, just kill him.
It was just such a weird thing. It felt like Jared Leto's character was just trolling. So, like, even if, because it was, because the way they set it up, it was possible he was just a troll.
Right.
Like, he didn't, he wasn't the murderer. He was some type of serial killer groupie ass nigga that liked fucking with the cops. Mm-hmm. He followed the news. He saw.
He kept it with them CB radios or whatever them things is.
And it reminds me, you know, because I watch and listen to podcasts sometimes about, like, serial killers or something like that. And it reminds me of the ones where it's like it gets solved once DNA comes around or something, but they go unsolved for years and years and years and years. And there's always people that they have suspects, but then we find out, like, they didn't do it.
Right.
Like, they had all the creepy shit, they didn't do it.
Right. You get to questioning them, they don't know anything about anything, and you go, yeah, you're just repeating the shit we put out in public. You actually don't know anything about these crimes.
Yeah, there's some freaky people out there that do stuff like that, and that, you know, follow the detectives, that have a police scanner in the house, which isn't illegal in a lot of places, and so they know shit, and they're really just, they didn't do it, but they're just fucking assholes, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so there's a chance they just killed a dude that was essentially one of the many people that didn't do a crime but was suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And given, like, I kind of like the idea of making a movie off that. It's almost like a True Detective or whatever. Like, I kind of like the idea of the moral ambiguity of, they killed this dude, he might not have done it, he might have done it. Either way, they, like, no one's gonna miss this piece of shit. You know, he was clearly fucking with the police at every turn and all this stuff. But it got so over the top where I was just like, you wouldn't get in a car with this man.
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't let him drive you to the middle of nowhere. Mm-mm. You wouldn't dig with a shovel.
It made
and
no
why
sense.
He taunted you.
And
you,
I, you know? And I thought at one period of time he was gonna take his gun and shit. I mean,
me too.
Because my thing is that you're an officer. Why are you turning your back to this dude to dig a hole? This makes no sense.
They didn't do any of the stereotypical thriller shit like that, mm-hmm. like I thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, I don't know, it's like
it's like you made him stupid in order to commit this, which is actually bad writing. Not trying to be funny, like,
I agree.
You know, you should have made it where they tussled for the gun and he shot him. Like, I would have even accepted that.
Yes, me too. I would, yes, that's much better.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you not like?
And I know I had this for my like, but I could see some people disliking this. It wasn't scary. I could see somebody seeing that preview and go, ooh, you know, okay, we gonna see this, and watching it to be like, the fuck is this? Like, I could see somebody being highly disappointed, expecting scary and getting, or even expecting a thriller, but getting a thriller where you actually see the crimes happening. So I could see somebody watching this and being disappointed because it doesn't meet those expectations.
Yeah, well, I would even throw in there, and this is something you said was a positive, the chemistry between Rami and Denzel, which I do agree with. They're good actors, mm-hmm. and them being on scene together is great. I still feel like Rami Malek was miscast. Like,
I could see
that that part should have went to a different actor
with more charisma.
Yeah,
I don't know if they purposely
and
told
I
him to perform like that, but yeah,
just like I don't even know if the right word is charisma, but it's something like
the person just need to pop more.
Yeah,
right.
And it just and there was a moment like where the forensics dude is talking about how they got 11 matches for dental something with the bite mark on the victim, and so Jared Leto, they need 12 in Los Angeles to get a match and 18 in California to get a match. And so the dude makes like a joke about how, like, well, this guy has 8 matches, and he's like, who's he? And he's basically like, me. And he, like, is supposed to have this tough moment as a detective where he, like, jump up and grab the dude's collar and goes, yeah, you son of a bitch. But it was
it didn't come across like,
yeah,
you I'm looking at this like somebody else and not in a bad way, but somebody else would have just killed the line more, where you, because the thing is, he did it out of rage,
right?
So you needed somebody that could emote rage very well, somebody that could go from rage to calm, rage to calm, like somebody that could go up and down.
Yeah, you need somebody bigger and a little bit more intimidating. And then even with Denzel, great actor, but this role for him felt almost like they could have cast somebody a little bit more grittier, a little bit more like, this dude has a checkered past and gives you that kind of creepy vibe. And with Denzel, I think he doesn't give you that. He just gives you a great performance. He gives you that consummate professional that, you know, like, he doesn't do a bad job, but I feel like they could have cast this in a way that would have made it more like a darker movie. And it didn't, it wasn't, it just, something about it just left it lacking. I think it was on the I think it was on the Rami Malek casting. Anything else you didn't like?
I didn't like Jared Leto. And the biggest reason why I didn't like him is because he's quote unquote creepy because he has a weird walk, or he looks strange. He's not creepy because he is a creepy person, you know. And also, the thing is, if he's supposed to be your villain or your bad guy, I felt no sense of fear. Like, there's nothing about him that brought fear to me when I seen him. You know, I was like, oh, you're just a weird ass dude. You know, you don't really come off as somebody, you know, because I could see somebody watching this go, he probably didn't do the crimes because he just looked corny, you know, versus somebody where if they would have got somebody that actually embraced the creepiness more, it would have made a difference. And also, if you're gonna have somebody well like Jared Leto or playing that role that he played, the person needs more lines, because I don't think he had enough lines. He wasn't on screen long enough, not to be funny, for you to have a feeling of, oh my gosh. And the time he did have on screen for long periods of time, it wasn't intense. Like, he looked at the pictures, I was like, nah, I'm not feeling this. Like, I need for the creepiness to come out if this was the whole purpose of this character.
And that's the thing, like, we're supposed to not like him, we're supposed to think he's a creep, and he does deliver in that, but we're also supposed to think that, you know, he's a scary serial killer, and at any moment he could pounce, or he could turn on Rami Malek or something. And I mean, he basically goes out like a bitch. Yeah. I mean, he gets hit upside the head with a shovel, and you almost left feeling sorry for the dude, because, like, they never proved that he did the shit, and he might have got killed for being a dick, like, not for actually being a criminal. There's a moment when Denzel and him talk, when Denzel, like, it's not our first time seeing him, because Denzel shows up at this place of work business, and they do this real quick creep shot where, like, first when they look over there, you can't see him, and then when Denzel leaves, his head is like looking almost at the camera, like, look at me, I'm looking hella creepy. But when Denzel goes by his house to start, like, looking to check out his apartment, his car and all this shit, and they have a confrontation. Denzel's looking through the car.
Can I help you?
Jared Leto comes out with a bag of trash.
I saw the for sale sign.
That was for another car.
Got a lot of miles on it. You a salesman?
No.
How's the trunk space?
Standard.
Mind if I take a look? I'm in the market.
It's not for sale.
All I need to do is take a look.
You must really like my car.
I do.
So, yeah, like, stuff like that, it's like, also because it is Jared Leto, it's so obvious, like, so this is our guy. like they like we never like at one point they bring in like one other suspect who ends up killing himself later, and mm-hmm. turns out that, you know, they it's probably not him, but like it was just so it was such a weird it was so it's just such a I don't know, it was because he wasn't intimidating, but also he was the kind of dude that is too big a star to not make him the focal point of the investigation. So to me it was kind of like, yeah, bad casting, not for he couldn't do the role, but bad casting because at that point you're like, okay, this is the serial killer,
right? And it's also one of the things with him where you, like I said, you didn't make him that creepiness, you know, you didn't make him where he's yelling for no reason or scratching his skin, you know, like mm-hmm. something where you go, there's something mentally off there.
Yeah, well, I think they were going for the smart, teasing kind of serial killer person that the reason they're so hard to catch is because they do know they're being watched, and they do, they are fucking with you, and they do want this attention from the cops and all this shit, you know. And whether he was the killer or not, he had the personality of wanting all that and saying like, I know they watch me, I'm gonna go to the strip club, I'm gonna get on a bus for no reason, I'm gonna, you know, that kind of shit.
And the thing is, I would have liked it more where he portrayed like the weird and creepy type of thing, like he just unaware, and then he actually did it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would have liked a twist like that. And something else for me that I guess I could say I did not like,
mm-hmm.
was the car scenes, like the car chase on mm-hmm. the highway. It was very boring. You know, I like a good car chase scene, but y'all just barely missing each other going up and down highways on the opposite side of 85. I'm going north, you going south, I'm going east, you going west. That shit was not yeah. entertaining at all.
And I think it was supposed to be like they was in the car for a long time, but it was just like, nigga, I feel like I was in the car for a long time. Let's go.
Let's go. You know, me and Roger, I like a good car chase scene, mm. but that particular one just stood out as being just bad. I was like, who wrote this? Well,
also, it wasn't even a car. It was a low-speed car chase. It wasn't even like they were, you know, it wasn't action at all in this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie had no action.
And I could see somebody going, the hell is this? No action?
Yeah. Another thing I would say I didn't like, I felt like they kind of wasted time with the car scenes and stuff like that, and they didn't spend enough time with like these people's personal lives. Like I would have liked to see Denzel interact with his ex-wife a little more.
That was my next one.
Even mm-hmm. Rami Malek with his family, we really only get the him being despondent with his family for the most part. You know, I assume the stress of the cases are weighing on him, but like mm-hmm. it just, I don't know, I feel like we never really get to see like what it is they're losing mm-hmm. by being so wrapped up in this case. I guess you could say we see what Denzel lost, but we never see what Rami even is losing, because we barely see his family in this movie.
And the wife is just basically in the background stewing, right. You know, one of them typical, oh, the wife, you know, she you know, she just doesn't get it, she doesn't get my job. Mm-hmm. You know, like they like to make the woman the, I won't say the scapegoat, but you know, right. almost like justify his actions mm-hmm. type of thing. And so I didn't care too, you know, I mean, too much for that. Like, and then when they interacted, not trying to be funny, because Rami was so stoic, you didn't really feel the chemistry in the marriage. It was like, oh, this marriage is already dead. Like, right. I would have liked to see a period of time where y'all did get along. And you was, that could have been a flashback. But like you say, they actually recorded these boring-ass car scenes. And also something else to my car scenes, we spend I don't know if it's budget or what, we spend a lot of time sitting with these niggas in their cars.
Yeah, a lot of stakeouts. Yeah.
And I'm like, this shit is not entertaining. Unless you have two, not trying to be funny, highly entertaining or highly funny mm. or something happening while we're doing these stakeouts.
Well, it's like I saw True Detective, mm-hmm. all the seasons, and it felt like they tried to catch some of that magic. True Detective, the gritty, kind of gory, thriller, suspense, horror, I guess, catching a serial killer type of thing that jumps between time periods. It felt like they tried to condense that down to 2 hours, and I don't think that formula works as well with 2 hours, and I also don't think it works unless you like really nail the casting for the two leads. And I think Rami for me was just not as good a lead as, or not even as good, just he just wasn't the type of lead. He was great, he's a great actor, right, but
it was almost like he was miscast for this role. Right?
He almost would have been better off being a serial killer.
He would have killed that role.
Jared Leto with an actual real haircut and shit might have been better as the detective,
right? It's almost like if they would have flipped, yes, Rami would have killed
that. That actually would have made, that would have fixed the movie. To me, a lot of the stuff with the movie would have been fixed right there.
Because the thing around me, he looks like, okay, he's just creepy looking. He just has that face.
And he could do the creepy smart, I'm smart, I'm fucking with y'all, you don't know if I did it or not. And then, boom, he gets killed by Jared Leto's character or whatever. And, yeah, I think we fixed the movie. Anything else for Not Likes? Yeah, I think we nailed everything we didn't like about the movie. Alright, let's give it a score. 0 to 5, Karen.
I give it a 3.
3? Yeah, I think I give this movie a 2 out of 5. Mostly because the first two thirds of the movie aren't bad. No. Like, it's a pretty decent movie. But that third act, to me, is so bad.
Yes,
and the leaps
of
logic, the character choices, the writing, it just goes off the rails.
Right, I don't know what happened, but like you said, about the last third, it drags. You have people doing things where you go, you're a professional, these actions don't make no sense. And so you're asking the audience to just ignore shit that you go, I don't care if this was in the 1970s or 80s whenever we record this, you wouldn't do that.
So give it a 2 out of 5 from me. Let's go ahead and get into your comments. We got 2 comments. One of them for our latest review, Outside the Wire. Karen and I did this one. CP88 says, "Hey Rod and Karen, I was glad to see a review for this movie. I had a lot of fun watching this movie with how intense the action scenes were and how quickly they throw you into it. Karen made a great point about how you rarely see black people in a role like this. I also think that they'll put those white characters in black and brown countries and have them kill everybody, Extraction on Netflix. So watching black people go ham in a white country stood out for me." That is true. We've seen the opposite of this many times.
Love that, boy.
Damson, Forever Franklin Saint, is becoming one of my favorite actors. He plays that cold-blooded role so well, and when he gets into his shit talking back, it's just chef's kiss. He is good. He was talking shit to that android. He looked at a killer android in the eye and said, "Did your chip malfunction?" And I fell out laughing, lol. Keep up the good work, y'all. Peace. Thank you, CP. And lastly, this is an old school comment, man. This goes back to our very first ever spoiled movie review, which was Iron Man 3, which I remember hating at the time. But now I love this movie. Yeah. One of my favorite Marvel movies.
And I remember why I disliked it. This was the last movie that Marvel didn't promote it like this. For Iron Man 3, they showed a lot of shit in the trailer, and so, you know, people are hyped and you're like, I literally have seen all this shit in the trailer.
Well, I don't think that was it, because the trailer was misleading. The trailer, they definitely had a lot of twists in this movie that weren't in the trailer, because remember, the trailer was the Mandarin the Ten Rings,
the biggest twist was the suits moving around, like for that was a major spoiler, and they literally put it in the trailers. And
the suits moving around, what you
yes,
mean?
Yes, you mean like his robots is what was that, the second one with his suits that could automatically fly?
I'm not sure what you mean. That might have been the second one. The third one was the one with the Mandarin, and it was terrorism and people was blowing up.
Okay. I remember this one, yeah, because a lot of people were upset because they was like, the hell is this? This dude is not a, you know, he's a fake. Yeah,
it wasn't the real Mandarin.
Right.
Yeah, and people was mad. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
about
I remember that one.
And I know I was upset because at the end, it's like, Pepper is really the hero that really comes and saves him, mm-hmm. with the extremists. And I was expecting a lot more action. And he spends most of the movie not even in an Iron Man suit. Like, he has like one glove on and one like foot thing. And I just remember thinking like, this is fucked up. This is Iron Man. And later when I watched it again and softened on it, I realized like, no, this was one of the most important movies in the Marvel franchise because it was him dealing with PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this was the one with him and the little kid.
Little kid was in some of it. Yeah.
Yes,
it was him dealing with PTSD. It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
And also like, this gives us the Tony Stark that is willing to die for the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that without this crucial step of Tony reckoning with his fear of what is going to come to pass in this Avengers Initiative, and his fear seeing like he you know almost dies. He sees how big like the galaxy is and all the things that are coming for the Earth. Like, it was just kind of like a much better movie than I thought. Anyway, Samuel Agnew says, y'all review of Iron Man 3 is much more funnier than I remember because I had similar complaints back in 2013. Tony not being in a suit for a substantial period of time, climax let down, and the bad guy expectations. 7 years later, I think not only does this film age better after its release, the first two films do as well. What befell Iron Man 3, at least from a fan standpoint, is what befalls lots of big movies that have such high demand, expectations. The final Iron Man film had to follow the first Avengers film, which was already a tall order. We place all these things that may or may not be in the screenplay and go off that, rather than allowing the stuff in the final product to exist as is. This happened to The Dark Knight Rises, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, Widows, Ages of Ultron, and Endgame got this to some degree with Clint killing brown folks, Fat Thor, and Black Widow sacrifice stuff. Thing is, we as an audience and even film critics have to live with the stuff that exists within the movie and subsequent movies prior to within the MCU, not message board or Twitter ranted to death because an idea the individual had didn't go directly into the final release, setting you up for disappointment. The blessing and curse of anticipation in a nutshell is that you don't get everything you want, even if you do get said desired outcome. What makes Iron Man 3 genius is that Tony's changed from this very film, and it sets course for his eventual character arc towards the end of Avengers Endgame. He deals with PTSD and his past coming back to haunt him, and Aldrich Killian, played by Guy Pearce. Yeah, he was really good. That's mm-hmm. another thing. Because I went in thinking about the Mandarin because of the trailer, and he's like, the Mandarin is some bullshit. It's Guy Pearce is gonna be the main bad guy. I never really got to appreciate Guy Pearce as a bad guy because I the whole movie I was waiting, I thought he was just like the nerd and like a kind of a nerdy asshole, but he was the big bad.
Yeah, and it could be one thing where this was a fake Mandarin. Who knows, they might fuck around and bring the real one.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Mm-hmm. That they still are planning to do that, maybe even in Shang-Chi.
Oh, that'd be good.
The billionaire, a playboy stuff is just to side is just to put to the side and enables us to actually see what he has to deal with. Even the way they handle the Mandarin in this movie is very clever. I hated it when it came out because I wanted to see them fight, but seeing that Mandarin served as propaganda finder made sense. Yeah, it didn't just make sense, but it really speaks to what was the problem with a lot of America and the way that we looked at the war on terror and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of in a weird way, it reminds me of how white terrorists in America can storm the fucking Capitol because the threat is coming from the inside. That's what Guy Pearce was. Guy Pearce was the white dude who was a white terrorist who fucking kidnaps the president in this movie. And the whole time we don't see it coming because everyone's looking at the brown man who's doing these TV distractions, talking like the terrorist that we, you know, this is what in our minds, this is the media version of a terrorist. The real terrorist was this tech genius.
Yeah, and the thing is, you were talking about them bringing a Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
What would be hilarious, I don't know if they would do this, what would be hilarious if the real Mandarin comes back and ends up joking the other dude, talking about, got this fake person, or end up, not so funny, just killing him. Just like, you know, because the dude survived.
Well, they actually already did a short, in, I can't remember which one it came with. It's probably on YouTube now, but it's one of the shorts involving the Mandarin character from this movie, played by I can't remember what his name is, but really good actor. But yeah, it really, like, what they did was they have like a small, like, I don't know, couple of minute thing that show him in prison, where I think, if I'm not mistaken, the real Mandarin comes in. And we don't ever see him or anything, but we just basically get exposed to the fact that, like, there is a real Mandarin out there.
Ben Kingsley.
Yes, sir, Ben Kingsley. So yeah, it could, so we might get that, I don't know. Anyway, the pacing is damn near perfect. Solid acting and script that has a lot of punch to it with its humor. CGI still looks good from a film that came out 7 years ago. The extremists as a plot device didn't bother me, since it's all from Killian using his newfound tech to dethrone Tony. Typical good versus bad shit. I also did enjoy this movie's climax. Kind of do wish we get more Gwyneth Paltrow in the suit. Besides that dope one-shot tag team with her Iron Man near Endgame's end.
I think you're going to get more of her in the suit.
Before I stop writing, I also want to shout out Iron Man 2 is another film that's important to the integrity of the MCU. Sure, it has uneven pacing, especially in the middle, but the stuff with Tony's dad issues, War Machine, potential threats outside of Stark Enterprise, Avenger, Easter Egg, etc. There's a lot of substantial nuggets there. Iron Man 3 is underappreciated, enough said. Yeah, I agree with you about Iron Man 3 for sure. Iron Man 2, I'm a little less... I just think Iron Man 3 aged so well because it's such a thoughtful film. Iron Man 2 to me was not nearly as thoughtful as this, and I have rewatched that a few times as well, but and there's good, you know, I'm not shitting on that film. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's some bad film, but Iron Man 3 to me, you know, this might be blasphemy to some people, but I think it's even better than Iron Man 1. Like, it's that, it literally captures the soul of the character, and then it gives, this is, I don't, at this point, probably like our fifth time seeing Tony on screen as, Robert Downey Jr. on screen as Tony, and it gives you another place to take this character. And when you essentially look at the entire arc of Tony, this is the seminal moment where he overcomes his fears, still steps up, still finds his heroism again, and comes back doubly determined to try to protect the Earth against this coming onslaught that he knows is coming somehow. So yeah, man, great movie. Great. Can't I was so wrong about this movie, and that's one of the beautiful things about doing this show. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I was dead wrong about this movie. And over time, thinking about it, watching it again, I would now give that thing a 5 out of 5, you know? All right, y'all, that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another review soon. Maybe we'll be looking at this movie in years later and going 5 out of 5. I doubt it, but it could happen.
It could.
Anything could happen. All right, y'all. Talk to you later. Peace.